Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, along with my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, how's it going?
Oh, doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And on this episode, we've got a special guest, Dirk Cunningham, RCW Entertainment. Dirk, how are you?
I'm doing great, Meat Hook. How's things your way?
Fabulous. You know, a lot of things are happening, turning around. We got the Arnold coming up. We got the Ohio State Fair. And, of course, you're involved in a little bit of that. So, but you've also got your own show coming up here pretty soon.
Yes, we got February 29th, leap year. We have RCW down here in Portsmouth, Ohio at the West Portsmouth Complex, which is the old West Portsmouth High School. It'll be our first RCW show since April. So we took a little bit of time off, had to get some things straight, but things are looking pretty good.
There's our the horror part of our Wrestle Horror podcast.
Yeah. Stop calling me mom.
I'll be down for dinner in a minute.
So, you know, Dirk, I mean, I know you've been involved with NOW in various capacities over the past few years, and this year is no exception, but let's talk a little bit about RCW. I mean, okay. This is your promotion. What's going on this next show?
RCW, if nobody is that familiar with us, we started in 2002. And we've done over 200 live events. We've put on over 100 different TV show episodes. We used to be on WBCW down here in Portsmouth, went all the way through West Virginia. But we've been around for quite a while. And at this show coming up, there, and Donnie knows this, I've always wanted to do a super show with everybody I've considered friends that have helped me along the way that I respect in this business. And Donnie and New Ohio Wrestling is one of those. You got Remix, ASW, people like that, that I've had the pleasure of working with through the years. I've always wanted to do a show with all of us together, but that turns out to be kind of impossible sometimes in this business, but they've all been kind enough to let me showcase a title match from each of those places. You know, and I think that's a little something different we got going on this show that most people are afraid to do these days. You know, everybody's so protective of their stuff and this and that. And I kind of wanted to just do something different because I've done this for, you know, we've been running RCW for 18 years now. And I hit that burnout phase last year. And I've probably been hitting that burnout phase for probably the last 4 or 5 years. So to do something different, I mean, I'm ate up with it right now again. I mean, I love wrestling right now again, and it's exciting. And I think my excitement has went to the guys' excitement, you know, that are on the show, which has transformed into the excitement for the crowd to come see the show. Because like I said, we've already got a pretty good turnout already headed our way, and we're still a week and a half away. So, but we have Onyx, New Ohio Wrestling Arnold, Sports World Champion. Uh-huh. Right, he's taking on Flash Fury, and that is also for the RCW Heavyweight title. So one of those should be walking away with two belts that night.
Nice.
Yeah, make you sweat a little bit, doesn't it? You might have to have Flash Fury on your show.
All right. And then, but yeah, I mean, I love the idea myself. Like I said, you'd talked about it before, and we'd actually had a group chat, I remember, a year or two back with a bunch of promoters just discussing it and throwing ideas around. And yeah, I think like a super show in a big setting is a great idea. I mean, you know, if it'd be a win-win-win for everybody, yeah. Everybody cross promoting, and just like you just said, we got the New Ohio Wrestling Arnold champion going to be on your event, and then at the Arnold the weekend after that, there's actually going to be an RCW tag team title match where Warhorse is going to be taking on some guy that I'm sort of familiar with, named Dirk Extreme.
Well, not yet. It's either going to be Warhouse is going to defend either against me and Max Power, or Baker and Beef Hammer. So we have a match at February 29th. The winner of that match will actually face Warhouse at your show.
Oh, very cool. So, very cool. So you got a shot. You got a shot at a shot, don't you?
Yeah. Turn myself in. Show them this 40-some-year-old guy can still go.
There you go. Yep. And also at the Arnold, we're actually doing a war title match, too, for war wrestling with guys up there in Lima. And Mojo McQueen's going to be coming down and defending against Matt Taylor. So, and that'll be on the Sunday show, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, and Tom's another guy. War is another promotion we'd like to work with. You know, I've known Tom for, gosh, I don't know, 20 years, maybe not that long, but probably like 18 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've always gotten along well. And I actually went up to Lima just about 5 months ago, and we sat in the truck and talked for about an hour.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Me and Terry went up there and had dinner with him and Chris a time or two and just sat around and talked wrestling, you know, talked shop.
But besides those matches, we also have the Remix heavyweight title, which is held by Jock Sampson, which I'm sure New Ohio wrestling fans are familiar with.
Oh, yeah, they love Jock.
Jock will be defending the Remix Pro title against All-Star Wrestling, ASW out of West Virginia, their champion, Ron Mathis, another person we're all familiar with.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Both of them are mainstays on New Ohio wrestling cards.
Yeah. Yep, and that originally was just Jock Sampson defending the Remix title against Ron Mathis, and then Mathis happened to capture the ASW title. And ASW is somewhere that they treated me very well for many years. I mean, I got to wrestle, you know, Lanny Poffo there and do things with Jimmy Hart and Bushwhacker Luke. And, I mean, they really put me in a good – spot there at that promotion, and I've always had great respect for them. So it's kind of an honor to have those two also be a part of this.
Yeah, very cool. I'm excited for it. Like I said, it's something different. You don't see it a lot, and I'm kind of interested to see how it plays out.
Yeah, and Pro Wrestling Live, they got a show, I think, in May.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be I said that wrong. Their show's in April.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. April 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Fields will be defending their Warfare title against Jason Legend, our North American champion title. So,
nice.
You know, Dirk, I got to say, you mentioned Lanny Poffo, and I met him recently at the local promotion here where I live called Future Great Wrestling. And he actually wrestled a match, and I was – blown away by the fact that he did a top rope moonsault.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not a young man.
No, he's in his late 50s now, you know?
He's in his 60s.
Oh, he probably, yeah.
Yeah. And he did that top rope moonsault, and I mean, everybody in the arena was like, oh my God.
I'll tell you a story about that top rope moonsault.
Okay.
he when I wrestled Lanny Poffo, he was going to do that top rope moonsault. Jimmy Hart was managing him that night.
Okay.
And he came to me and he's like, "Ah, I'm scared to death." I'm like, "I'm going to be easy on him." I said, "I'm not going to hurt him or anything." And he's like, "No, I ain't worried about that." He's like, "I'm worried about him doing that moonsault and landing and crushing your face." I never thought about that. I was like, heck, I'll move out of the way if I see it going wrong. He's like, just keep an eye on him. I'm worried about that. That match ended up being probably one of the highlights of my whole wrestling career because he did an arm drag. He did an arm drag at the very beginning of the match. We never called one thing, never called one spot in that match. Lanny Poffo did an arm drag. I was getting so much heat from the crowd. Just went right with everything. And he looked at me and he said, "You restored my faith in wrestling tonight."
Very cool.
And I mean, just like, it almost made me want to cry at that time. In the ring. He's like, "This is going to be good." And then we had fun with it, you know, and in the back, he told me, that I had restored his faith in wrestling, because he had been on like two or three indie shows where he was like, he's done with it. He was ready to quit. So
that's very cool.
That is very
big compliment.
Yeah. Well, he was definitely a sight to see, and I'm glad you had a hand in giving that fire back to him, really.
No, even if it lasted for a little while, you know.
Yeah, a lot of things that people don't realize about Dirk is not only has he been around the business for a while, but he's actually, you know, worked with and met a lot of good people. And I'm noticing in his background on his over his shoulder there, just like on over my shoulder, we both have the old Jason Voorhees mask hanging up.
Oh, yeah.
People don't realize that Dirk is also a horror fan, so he's a perfect wrestle horror candidate.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so much so that I'm going to have him tell us some stories here, try to dig some stories out of him. But he was actually in the movie Wrestlers vs. Zombies.
Oh, God.
As an extra. They rented his ring, and he went down there for the shoot. And so he was down there with Piper and all the guys, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I got a call, actually, Adam from Remix. He's like, man, they need a ring for this movie they're filming in Parkersburg. He said, I know you're a Roddy Piper fan. I'd like for you to get it, you know. He's like, here's a number, call him. And I was like, you know, on the phone and worked a deal out with him. And they were going to pay, you know, they paid me like $500 to rent the ring. I took it up there. I called off work, took it up there I wrestled in ASW in West Virginia on Friday, XWE on Saturday, drove it straight to Parkersburg on Sunday, set it up. Then they said, we don't need it tonight. We're going to wait till Tuesday. He said, well, just leave it here and we'll set it up. I said, you can't do that. You know, I can't, you can't just put a ring. If you don't know how to put it together, you ain't going to put it together. And I said,
right.
And I'm never like this. I'm never somebody that just takes something, or I'm never an ass about something. Everybody knows me, knows I'm just not that way.
Right.
But I seen an opportunity. I've always had a goal of doing something with Roddy Piper. So I looked at the guy and I said, I'll bring the ring back Tuesday, but you have to give me a role in the movie.
There you go.
Fair enough.
Back, I'll scratch yours, yeah.
And the guy with me looked at me like, you know, and I said, oh, and you got to have a role for my friends too. And that's how we got it. And they even credited us they put us in the credits. They fed us catering with them, they took good care of us, except for Shane Douglas didn't take good care of us, but everybody else did.
Yeah.
Well, we won't go there. But that's great. I mean, what an awesome accolade, really.
Yeah. Then we had to take the ring a few days later to War for their 10th anniversary show in the cage. That whole week was like, my daughter was crying, like, when are you coming home?
Like, I don't know at this point. Yeah, but it's worth it, though. You got the memories. You got your spot.
Got my spot. Because you never know when it ain't going to be there. He died, 2 years later. So.
Yep.
Right. So, big horror fan, Dirk.
Yeah.
Jason Voorhees, I see the mask. Donnie mentioned it earlier. Have you met any of the Jasons?
Oh, yeah. I'll show you my favorite one, though. Here, hang on just a second.
Okay.
Yeah, I say I've been over to his place. He's got a lot of horror stuff, memorabilia, and all kind of stuff. Yeah.
Can you tell me what this is?
That's a live cast.
Yes.
It doesn't look like Kane Hodder.
No, it's not Friday the 13th.
Okay, that looks like. Oh my gosh.
Boy.
Angus Scrimm.
Yep.
Wow. Phantasm.
I am a huge Phantasm fan. I have, pretty much everything Phantasm's released, I probably have.
Oh, that's cool. I mean,
I have a laser disc autographed by Don Coscarelli and Angus Scrimm over there that's like one of a thousand. So,
nice
to have that that live cast, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I want to say these were probably limited to 500 or 1,000 too, something like that. So.
Wow. All right. So yeah, no doubt about your horror fandom there. Phantasm being your top one, is that the one you love the most?
Yeah, I like things that don't end. You know what I mean? I like guessing, and except for Phantasm 5, I wasn't a big fan of the ending. You know, I love the Evil Dead movies. And
okay.
Haven't finished the series yet. I'm saving that last episode. I can't. I'm having a hard time finishing something if I know it's the last one.
Yeah.
What's your take on the Jeepers Creepers movies?
You know, I haven't watched them all, to be honest with you. I've watched the first one.
Okay. That was the best one, by the way.
Yeah. I've probably seen bits and pieces of the second one.
But you know,
but they weren't bad from what I remember.
The first one was shot
Leave me alone.
The first one actually was shot in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those roads that they shot it on, I have been to, including where the church was, the desecrated church where he threw the bodies.
Yeah.
Which they're really, you can't do a basement in Florida like that.
Yeah.
But I've been to that. Unfortunately, that church has burned down since then. Somebody burned it down. But a lot of it was shot in Florida, just northeast of Tampa.
Okay.
So bending up and down a lot of those roads. I love the movies. I've met the guy who plays the creeper, Jonathan Breck.
Mm-hmm.
And he really creeped me out because when I met him, you know, he did that creeper sniff on me. It's like, get away. You know, it's like that was just unnerving.
I've had Kane Hodder put me in a headlock, and that was the hardest headlock I've ever had put on me in my life.
Me too. Lock. me too. He does not mess around with that. He is 100% serious.
He's like, I accidentally choked a guy out like this once and got in trouble. Yeah. He's not allowed to. I guess he doesn't do it that much anymore because he actually hurt somebody on accident. It's like, and he just puts one arm around your head, and I swear it feels like he's squeezing your neck off.
Been there, done that. I understand.
Yeah, I've got a choke pick with him where he put his hands around my neck, but I didn't know he did the headlock, so I'm going to have to get one of those.
Yeah, he does not mess around. He is serious when he does that.
Mm-hmm. But so, I don't know if I've met any of the other ones or not. Maybe C.J. Graham might have been at one. I can't remember.
You know,
that was my first Jason. I mean, my first Jason was probably part four was probably where I came in. And then work my way backwards, and then fours. But six is always my favorite. You know, that's when I came into Alice Cooper music, and Alice Cooper's my favorite singer. So that's where my two worlds collided.
You know, one of my favorite horror icons that I met was Gunnar Hansen, the original Leatherface.
Mm-hmm. Yep, seen him at Horror Hound one year.
I did too. That's where I met him. Was at a Horror Hound. I got a autographed picture of him, and I actually got a chance to sit there and chat with him before I got into the podcasting business. But I sat there and chat with him for about 10 minutes because nobody was coming up and talking to him. It's like, this is kind of sad.
Yeah.
But he was very, very cordial. And, you know, we just talked about, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre and how little he was paid for that role. And, you know, it's like I felt bad for him. But He was such an icon, and you know.
I think that go around. I was probably there to see Elvira. I was always in love with Elvira.
So. I was there. I met Elvira at that same show.
I think one night she was Elvira. Next night she did it without the makeup, and yeah.
So you know, horror. It's you know, the main reason Donnie and I started this is because wrestling and horror kind of, you know, do this. They're hand in hand, somewhere, some shape. You know, wrestlers love horror. Horror people love wrestling. So that's where Wrestle Horror was born. And, you know, you're just a testament to that, that, you know, everything just kind of intertwines.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and for me, wrestling also kind of intertwined with, I don't know if you can, I was a huge still am probably. I don't watch it that much anymore, but I'm a huge Days of Our Lives fan.
I'm sorry.
Well, the character on there was always Stefano D'Amara. He was the villain, the bad guy, and they always did supernatural type storylines and stuff, you know, and a lot of RCW storylines follow the Phoenix, which was my take on Stefano, you know, because he was the Phoenix.
Nice. See, find something and just put your own little twist onto it.
Right.
See, that's what I've told people, you know, people that don't understand why I like wrestling. The easiest way to describe it to them is it's a soap opera on steroids.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that makes perfect sense, you know. If you either love it or you hate it, I don't think there's any middle ground in there.
No, and I think that's one reason I think RCW has stayed around so long is because we've always been good with storytelling. You know what I mean? Our fans love our stories. You know, they want to see what happens to this guy next show or that show. And that's how you create that hook to get a crowd and to get a fan base. It doesn't care if you're bringing a name in. They're there to see the guys they see each and every week, just like people tune in to see their favorites on their soap shows or their favorites, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
See what happens next.
Yeah, it is all about the story. And, you know, people don't realize it. I mean, wrestling fans, they might not realize it, but it, like I said earlier, it is like a soap opera. But the story is what drives the show.
Right.
And, you know, like the local promotion here, Future Great Wrestling, my daughter is training with Cody Hawk to be a wrestler. So my wife and I go every Friday night and we watch the shows and we're invested in the storylines. I mean, what's going to happen next, you know? And we even got to the point where we told Shelby, because at one point in time she was telling us what was going on and she got in trouble for that. So I said, stop telling us and just let us watch the show.
It's more fun that way.
It is.
And Cody's a good trainer too. So.
Oh, he's phenomenal. And he, you know, he gave my daughter a challenge because the last female that completed his training was Shauna Reed. Mm-hmm. And he told Shelby, he says, don't quit on me. And Shelby said, I'm not going to. And I guarantee you she will be the next female that completes his training because she's only a couple months away from the training, at the end of training.
Awesome. Tell her we're looking for females down here.
I will tell her that because she will be looking for wrestling gigs, I'm sure. And, you know,
back to the whole thing with not telling, you know, I did a show a couple of years ago at the Dogwood Festival and I got clotheslined over the ropes real hard. It was a match with D'Lo Brown and stuff. And we, you know, did a knee injury and they carried me out. Well, next thing I know, you know, my mom is knocking on the locker room door. My mom, who never hardly comes to a show, wondering if I'm hurt, you know. I'm like, I just sold my mom. I sold the whole crowd. You know?
There you go. I mean, that's great. I mean, you know, my daughter has been involved in some spots as security. And she got thrown out of the ring by Drew Skills a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing her actually debut, and I couldn't be more excited when she does.
Oh, well, best of luck to her. Mm-hmm.
So let's give some people some information about RCW and the Super Show and how they can find out more about Dirk and RCW.
Okay, well, you can go to our website, which we've had this website since day one. It's rcwonline.com. They can purchase tickets there for any shows. We're actually sold out of ringside seats for next week's show, so it's not a bad problem to have, but I am going to go down Friday and see if there's any way we can open up more ringside seats. So we got the website, which I keep the website mainly just for ticket purposes, you know, and to update people on shows.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then you can also go to Facebook, Revolutionary Championship Wrestling. Look it up on there like that. Or I think also if you type in RCW online, it should pop up that way too on Facebook. But we are, the show is February 29th. Tickets are on sale on the website. We have tickets on sale at Menix's, Giovanni's down here, and Castle Comics. We got sponsors in Scioto River, Portsmouth Brewing Pub, Menix's, Giovanni's, and now we also got Noggin's, which is a bar down here for the after party. So.
Is Giovanni's the spot that we ate lunch at that day I came down there a while back?
It's a different Giovanni's. That's Portsmouth Giovanni's. Menix's Giovanni's over on the west side towards the complex.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you wholeheartedly, I've always thought Menix's Giovanni's is 10 times better than any other Giovanni's.
Aw, damn. I have to bring some extra cash with me. Stop there.
Oh, and we will be having Menix's Giovanni's pizza at the show too.
So. Oh well, that's cool. I got that covered then. Yep. Nice. Hey, I wanted to reach our talk real quick. You are a promoter and wrestler, and I mean, there's a lot of people out there that do that, but there are some in the business that just do promoting, some that just do wrestling. And there's kind of this always a back and forth type of thing between amongst everybody,
yeah,
about that kind of thing. Being at you've like been a which I'm the same way. I wrestled and now I'm a promoter, right. So I see both sides of all this. What is your take on all this? I mean, I know a lot of it's just silliness that even doesn't even need to be discussed and yeah, stuff. Right. But being that you've been on both sides of the fence, I mean, is it a case of where people just actually need to promote a show on their own to actually get it?
In a lot of cases, yes. I mean, the funny thing is I was wrestling for another promotion in 2000 and from 2000 to 2002. And I wasn't happy. You know, I mean, I just see everything being done wrong.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I kept complaining about it. And a friend of mine, she said, why don't you just run your own? And I was like, okay.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? And then I started, I needed those couple of years to create networking in the area, basically. And then as soon as we started up, they shut down. And I learned real fast. It wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. You know, we started with a bang. I mean, I threw everything. We our first show, we ran Shawnee State University, which is a college down here. We brought in Jerry the King Lawler. I think you can fit 2,000 people in the Shawnee State arena. And we had like 450 people. It wasn't a bad show, but there was so much wrong with it. Timing and this and that, and I blew all the tendons in my ankle. You know, it was just like one thing. It was a nightmare. But I don't think the main thing everybody thinks when you see a promoter and a wrestler is, oh, he's always going to push himself and his friends. That's what you always hear.
Mm-hmm.
In 18 years, I've been RCW champion a total of 6 months.
Right.
I mean, that's probably a little unheard of, you know, but I've always given myself a good storyline, but I give everybody a storyline.
Right.
I feel like it's important for everybody to have something, or else why are you there?
Right.
Yeah. You know? And I feel like I've probably gotten a good reputation for doing that. And I never felt comfortable. It's weird. I never felt comfortable as the champion.
Right. Yeah.
But it is weird for me being a spokesman when I'm a heel, or being a spokesman when
I find it really
hard a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like face forever. And then here lately, I've been like, ah, screw it. I'm going to do what I want to do. So.
Right. That's it. Yeah. But, on, like what the same concert, same thing here with me, like with New Ohio Wrestling. I've made it a point. Like, I don't even, I mean, I tell everybody I'm the owner, but I don't make it a, like an on-screen character so much.
Right.
And I've had people, you know, say, hey, when are you getting back in the ring? And I'm like, I'm not. I was like, yeah. But like, I have too, you know, I'm too stressed out promoting this daggone thing, trying to grow it, just, let alone get back into the wrestling part of it.
And see, our main storyline for 7 years was who's the owner of RCW. We had a masked individual, the Phoenix thing, and that was our storyline for 7 years.
Nice.
And we finally unveiled it, and we made it be Al Snow who trained me, which we tied it all in together for it to make sense. And then, so then everybody kind of knew I was, everybody at this point knows I'm the owner and the promoter, and, you know, but we had a situation happen at a show. And I used that situation to put another guy as president of the company, you know, fictitious president of the company, so that I can just do my thing and go that route at the shows. And as long as everybody sits back and has fun, it doesn't get questioned too much, you know?
All right.
Well, see, there you go, Donnie. I could put on my red assassin mask and I could be the owner of the company.
Hey, there you go.
And then you could get back in the ring.
Right. Yeah. I don't know about the getting back in the ring. Yeah. Actually, I think actually out of all of our events and stuff, I think I've only made an on-camera appearance once. And that was during the match where Bob Holly got involved and we reversed the decision or whatever.
Right.
But I think other than that, I've never, except for getting on before the show starts and thanking everybody for being there, I don't think I've ever been on camera. Well, I just don't have the interest for it right now. I mean, if there's a need for it, I will, but.
Hey, weren't you in the Battle Royal?
Oh yeah. Well, that ain't been aired yet. So, and I was only in there for a couple minutes and then they threw my fat ass out.
Well, see, I got that red assassin mask. Remember that? Yeah,
and I would say this, that was the only Battle Royal I've ever been in. Where I look around and I'm like, crap, it's just me and this big guy.
Yeah, you're in the final. You were the last two, weren't you?
And I didn't know anything about anything. I'm like, what the heck is going on?
Well, you know, Dirk, you tickled the hell out of me last year at the Arnold as the American Idol.
Oh, yeah.
That was funny.
I did that gimmick for – and the story with that gimmick is we had a guy who used to do a gimmick called the Karaoke King.
Right.
Randy Allen. And he got away from it, started doing this super pimp thing. And but then when we started our RCW, I said, I really loved the Karaoke King thing you used to do. But American Idol had just started in 2002.
Right.
And I said, why don't you become the American Idol and come out and sing and do your stuff? He's like, no, I don't want to do that anymore. And then I was training guys. And every guy I trained, I kept saying, let's do that American Idol gimmick on you. They're like, oh, we couldn't do that. And finally, I said, this is a good gimmick. I'm going to do it myself. Forget it, you know. And in 2006, I did that. I started the American Idol in 2006, and it lasted all the way up until 2016, probably, something like that.
Well, it was definitely a fun spot when you did that last year. It was...
Now, the funnest thing I ever did with, I think one of the funnest things I did with the American Idol was in Remix, they did a Loser Leaves Town match.
Uh-huh.
And I lost, right? Very next show, I come back, exact same outfit, just a Canadian mask on, and I'm the Canadian Idol. And I made everybody stand for the Canadian national anthem, and I proceeded to sing Rush's Tom Sawyer. And there was actually a couple there from Canada, and they came up to me and they said, that was the funniest thing, eh? You know?
Oh, that's great. I love hearing some of these stories. It's just, it's fun, and you know, it's entertaining, and the listeners are going to love this kind of stuff. It's kind of peeling back the curtain a little bit, but not entirely.
Exactly. And peeling back the curtain is something I've had a hard time doing. You know, it would be there's so much stuff I want to say sometimes, but you know, why, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we got to keep a little bit of the kayfabe, a little bit of mystique going.
Yep.
But you know, give them a little taste doesn't hurt.
Right. I agree. I feel like sometimes people go too far.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like there's shows where it's just like you go out there and it's like, what are they doing? You know, I don't know if I'm just too old now to not get it, but I know I'll be I'm probably in the minority, but I hate the freaking Orange Cassidy stuff where he's like the little kicks, you know. Mm. Now, some of it I kind of like, but like when there's a whole match and he's just like, oh man, I hate that stuff.
I'm on the fence about Orange Cassidy, but you know, I believe, and you know, I grew up watching, you know, Florida Championship Wrestling, Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Oh, I grew up on Georgia, yeah.
All the NWA stuff. I'm a big fan of kayfabe. And, you know, when kayfabe kind of went by the wayside, it kind of disappointed me. Mm-hmm. But I still believe in kayfabe. And, you know, promotions that try to keep that mystique going really I appreciate, because it's just part of the whole show. I mean,
right.
If you know everything, you know, I'm at a point now where I'm in the, thanks to Donnie, mostly I'm in the business where I know what's going on all around, but I still love going to the shows here in Hamilton and where they keep the kayfabe going. And I enjoy it because I don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah. And like our guys know, I hate, and it's good sometimes, but if I got a guy pile drive a guy and he pops up and
yeah,
what right. the hell?
Yeah. You know? I hate that.
Yeah.
Why? Because you just ruined that move for everybody else. You instead barely kick out, get up, you know, you mm-hmm. barely walk. Doesn't exactly. that tell me more? Doesn't that tell me a better story than you getting up and pounding your chest?
Mm. Exactly. They not. I mean, people that don't sell it the way it should be sold drive me crazy.
Oh yeah.
No, here's a way to look at it. When Owen Hart power drove Austin and hurt his neck for real. Yeah, when he hurt his neck for real, watch what Austin does and do that.
You know? Right.
Because that was legit.
It was, and. You know, too many people nowadays, I mean, I will be the first person to say I'm not a huge fan of the WWE.
I'm not either right now.
The whole sports entertainment thing isn't my shtick. Now, on the flip side, with Impact, now I've always been a big Impact fan, but I'm not a big fan of the whole Joey Ryan grab my dick and flip me over thing. That's just
hate that stuff.
That's bullshit. But there's other parts of Impact that I like. Sammy Callahan, in my opinion, he's underutilized and underappreciated.
Now, see, I haven't watched much Impact, to be honest with you. So I mean, they kind of lost me a while back. I mean, I'm not opposed to the whole Tessa Blanchard thing that's going on right now. I mean. Different. I mean, if they want to be noticed, I guess they're trying something different, you know?
Sure. But, you know, and the NWA, they're going old school too with Power.
I kind of like it. I mean, I've watched some episodes and I really kind of dig the format.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
NWA is probably my favorite right now.
And it reminds me of the old Georgia Championship Wrestling, Florida Championship Wrestling. That's what I mean, from the age of 12, that's what I grew up on, Florida, Georgia, and then WCW. WWE.
Yeah. I see.
Vince.
WWE,
they grabbed me as a kid when Roddy Piper went there, because I was Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Right.
You know, Piper and Gordon Soley and Ole Anderson and all them guys.
Love those guys.
But when Piper went to WWF, my heart went to WWF. I mean, that's just right. The way I was as a kid.
I get it.
But Dad would watch NWA, you know. So, and they came on the exact same time. He'd let me turn it to go watch Piper's Pit at 6:35. But we had to watch, you know, Saturday night. So, I mean, right. But there was enough syndication back then where you got to watch everything anyway. But
Sure.
But WWF today, I mean, Royal Rumble was great this year. I really liked it. But the I don't think it's a – I know why they do the Performance Center. It's a good idea and everything. But when you're growing your own talent and everybody's trained exactly the same way.
Right.
And they're all learning in the exact same area. Nobody's going to be that much different than the other.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. And then they're all going to bump the same way. They're all going to sell the same way. They're all – when – if you look at your characters through – it's not just wrestling. It's everything that way nowadays. I mean, bands. Look at bands. All bands are the same now. Nobody stands out. Whereas back then – Ric Flair could bump a certain way different than everybody else. Roddy Piper bumped weird, you know, and can talk and do this. Everybody's the same. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to have a breakout superstar?
Well, you
know, they all look the same.
Yeah.
There are some people in WWE that I think bear notice and that are standouts. Mm-hmm. In NXT, Keith Lee.
Yo, I like Keith Lee.
I love Keith Lee.
I was just talking about him earlier before I got on here.
Not a big fan of Matt Riddle because he runs his mouth too much.
Right, yeah. He's his own worst enemy. So.
Right. And the main roster of WWE, Ricochet is one of my favorites.
Every time I think they're going to do something with him, yeah.
His talent is there. They're just not usually utilizing it properly.
Right.
But Keith Lee in NXT. And NXT, let's make no bones about it. If you compare all three brands, NXT is the standout.
And I watch very little NXT, to be honest with you. I just don't have time for it, really.
But well, there's a lot going on. I mean.
You know, but I'll catch up everything on news and, you know, whatnot.
There is talent on NXT that, you know, that Triple H is nurturing and promoting. And I hate to say it, and, you know, Vince can ban me for life, but Vince is, when these people move up to the quote-unquote main roster, Vince is killing them.
Authors of Pain, great with Paul Ellering. Without Paul Ellering, they suck.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Don't care about them at all.
Yeah, Vince thinks he's the end-all, be-all of sports entertainment, and he's not.
You see, I'm not even sure. I think it's just overproduced and overwritten. When back when wrestling was good, Vince and, say, Vince, Bruce Pritchard, and Pat Patterson would sit down and write an entire show by themselves.
Right.
That was better than having 60 writers trying to write for guys, because they let guys kind of say their own stuff. They just come up with a format and an idea. This is the way we're going. We need you to do this, need you to do that. But then let them have their own identity. You know what I mean? How they get there. And now that it's just overproduced. And I think that's the biggest problem.
I agree. Because nowadays you have to say exactly what Vince wants you to say and nothing else.
Right.
But a prime example of that was Roddy Piper. Oh, my gosh, that man did some amazing promos. And he was just giving an idea and going with it.
Right. And my God, this Piper's Pits, this is the best segment ever.
Yeah, I agree. Even Steve Austin in his day. Arguably one of the biggest stars WWE, WWF has ever had. He was, I mean, when he came up with Austin 316, just kicked your ass.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nobody's going to write a promo for one of those guys like right. that. You know, exactly. I mean, you couldn't write that. They have to, that's no. something, that's them. So that's why it gets me. John Cena was probably one that kind of broke away and did his own thing, you know, and was able. I think if he came, which I fully expect him to, before he calls it quits, I think he will come back and be a heel. And that will be a major thing in WWE. I think that will shake things up enough and be entertaining for a year, maybe two, but I'd say a year. Cena come back, be heel. I'm calling it right now.
The only thing that concerns me about that is, you know, I know there's talk about Cena coming back for WrestleMania. I'm just afraid that he's going to be a 17-time world yeah. champion.
Just to beat Ric Flair.
But, just yeah. to beat Ric Flair. And if you really want to go to brass tacks, Ric Flair's had over 23.
Yeah. Which
so,
is,
yeah. you know, Flair's the man. Will always be the man in my book.
Oh, I love Ric Flair.
Great guy. I was fortunate enough to meet him last year. Mm-hmm. Very cordial and accommodating to his fans. And I've watched him, you know, since I was 12. And love him, he says, you know, love him or hate him, he's a champ.
Oh, yeah. And he acts like a champ no matter where he goes.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's the champ. Exactly.
I just don't want to see John Cena, Big Match John, be the 17-time
yeah.
champion.
I mean, I hated to see New Day beat Demolition's record. That bothered me.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. But you know, we could go on and on about this. I mean, we really could. I mean, I can see it now. We could carry this on for a couple more hours.
Oh yeah.
But time is winding down. I actually have another podcast I have to do shortly.
Oh, better get on then.
So, before we, Donnie, is there anything else you need before we start wrapping up?
No, I was just sitting back listening to you guys chat. You know, I'm a big listener. I just enjoy hearing just, everybody's opinions and everything.
Just let Meat Hook Jim do all of it, right?
There you go.
So it. Dirk, once again, let's get your information out there for people that want to know more about RCW, the go. Super show that's going on. Let's give them the who, what, when, where, and why.
All right, RCW at the Complex in West Portsmouth, February 29th. Easy date to remember. It's leap year. Only happens once every 4 years. Mm-hmm. That will take place. It's a Saturday night. We got a 7 p.m. bell time. We used to always do 7:30. I decided, hey, let's change this up a little bit, go a little bit earlier. So we're going at 7 o'clock. That's the old West Portsmouth High School. We're there February 29th. We actually have we're doing the Dogwood Festival in Piketon on April 24th. So we'll be back down there this year. And they can catch us on rcwonline.com, where you can also get tickets. And then check us out on Facebook. Just search Revolutionary Championship Wrestling or RCW Online.
Yep, it's going to be a special event. You're going to have RCW title matches. You're going to have New Ohio Wrestling title matches, Remix title matches, ASW title matches. Are there any title matches that I'm missing?
Pro Wrestling Live.
Pro Wrestling Live, yep, title matches, yep. I mean, it's going to be just a chock full of good action. It's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going home with all the gold. Woo!
He's going to win them all.
So for people that are in the area, I mean, this is going to be a true super show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it'll open them up to, you know, let's face it. If they're down here in Portsmouth, you may not go to Columbus that much to see, you know, New Ohio Wrestling. You may not travel that far to go see indie wrestling. Well, now you get to see a New Ohio Wrestling title be defended down here. And same thing, you know, Remix, all the other ones, same way. And then, hey, maybe you like what you see, and then next week you're like, hey, I'm going to go up to the Arnold and watch New Ohio Wrestling.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. Stop by and see that. Learn about you guys. And I think if if I can help push them your way, you guys help push them my way, and then
it's a win-win.
Everybody else does the same. My God.
Well, yeah, I can tell you,
right, your wrestling's on fire.
I can tell you right now, if I can manage to swing it, I'm going to come out. I've got some friends that live out, actually in Waverly.
Oh yeah, not too far away.
Okay, yeah. And if it's possible for me to swing it, I might come out there and try to catch the show too.
Come on down. Waverly's like 29-30 minutes away, something like that.
Okay, all right. So, check out the RCW Super Show in Portsmouth.
Yep, West Portsmouth.
West Portsmouth on the 29th, leap year. You can't forget it. It's a special day. I am Meat Hook Jim along with Donnie Hoover and Dirk Cunningham. And we are out for now, and we'll catch you on the next show.
Thank you, guys.
See you.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on our YouTube channel, The Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.